Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem Amir Avram Goldar, and today we're Maseches Pesachim, Daf Ayin Hey, the seventh perek, Ketzad Sowing. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, it was taught in a brisa, Hasachu Benasno Al Gabi Gecholim, Rebbe Omer, Omer Anis Shezed Tzli Eish. If one cut the Pesach and place it over coals, Rebbe says, I say that this is considered fire roasted. Now Rashi explains that he didn't cut the carcass apart, but rather he sliced it in several places so that it would roast quickly. Rav Achad Voibar Ami asked Rav Chista, if in fact Rebbe says coals are considered like fire. Since the Torah stated by a Metzorah the word mechve, burn, twice, it teaches us that saras on a burn also applies to a burn from coal. Now if the Torah had not included it based on the repetition, then one would not consider coal equivalent to fire roasted. So how could Rebbe consider a Pesach roasted on coals fire roasted without a special pasuk including it in the Pesach? Rav Chisra replied that concerning coal from wood, no pasuk is necessary. The pasuk was only needed to include gachel shemaseches, coal produced from metal. Point number two, as part of the discussion regarding coals from metal, the Gemara brings a gezera shava, sreifa sreifa mivinei aron, burning from the burning of bnei aron, to teach how someone condemned to burning is burned. Malahalan sreifas neshama v'guf kayam, afkan sreifas neshama v'guf kayam. Just as there burning refers to the burning of the soul with the body remaining intact, so too here refers to the burning of the soul with the body remaining intact. Now the Gemara asks why one needs to be burned with molten lead when one could immerse the person in boiling water, which would suffice, and answers that this is because of Rav Nachman's teaching. Amar Kra v'havta recha kamocha. The Torah teaches, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Baru lo misayafa. Choose for him a favorable death. Death by means of molten lead is less painful. And point number three, Rava asked if Rebbe actually said coals are classified as fire, based on a conflicting brisa regarding the shovelful of fiery coals that the Kohen Gadol takes into the Kodesh Kadoshim. If the Torah had only said gachalei, coals, yalko omamos, it might be thought he should take smoldering coals. Talmud lomar eish, the Torah teaches fiery. If the Torah had only said eish, it might be thought he should take a flame. Therefore, the Torah states gachalei. So how does the Kohen Gadol fulfill his chiyuv? Maybe mina lochoshos. He brings some of the flickering coals. So we see from here that even flickering coals are not classified as fire, contradicting Rebbe. Rava resolves the contradiction by reinterpreting the brisa. If the Torah had only stated gachalei, it might be thought he should bring smoldering coals, not flickering ones. Therefore, it states eish. If it had only stated eish, it might be thought he may take a burning piece of wood that is half coal and half flame, so by the time he enters the Kodesh Kodashim, it should be entirely coal. Therefore, the Torah states, the lakach mali amach de gachalei eish me'al mizbeach, and he shall take a shovelful of fiery coals from atop the mizbeach. This teaches that from the time of taking from atop the mizbeach, they should be coals. So according to this interpretation, the Bryce agrees with Rebbe that a flickering coal is classified as fire. So once again, the 3 points are number one. It was taught in a brisa, Hasach Nasnal Gabi Gachalim, Rebbe Omer Omer Ani Shezet Sli Eish. If one cut the Pesach and place it over coals, Rebbe says, I say that this is considered fire roasted. Rashi explains that he did not cut the carcass apart, but rather he sliced it in several places so that it would roast quickly. Rav Achad Voi Bar Ami asked Rav Chista if in fact Rebbe says coals are considered like fire. Since the Torah stated by Metzorah the word mechve, burn, twice, it teaches us that saras on a burn also applies to a burn from coal. Now, if the Torah had not included it based on the repetition, then one would not consider coal equivalent to fire roasted. So how could Rebbe consider a Pesach roasted on coals fire roasted without a special pasuk including it in the Pesach? Rav Chisra replied that concerning coal from wood, no pasuk is necessary. The pasuk was only needed to include gachel shel maseches, coal produced from metal. Point number two, as part of the discussion regarding coals from metal, the Gemara brings the Gezeirah Shavah, Sreifa Sreifa Bnei Aron, burning from the burning of Bnei Aron, to teach how someone condemned to burning is burned. Malahalan Sreifas Neshama V'guf Kayam, Afkan Sreifas Neshama V'guf Kayam. Just as there burning refers to the burning of the soul with the body remaining intact, so too here refers to the burning of the soul with the body remaining intact. So the Gemara asks why one needs to be burned with molten lead when immersing the person in boiling water would suffice, and answers that it's because of Rav Nachman's teaching. Amar Kra v'havta recha kamocha. The Torah teaches, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Baru lo misayafa. Choose for him a favorable death. Death by means of molten lead is less painful. And point number three, Rava asks if Rebbe actually said coals are classified as fire based on a conflicting brisa regarding the shovelful of fiery coals that the Kohen Gadol takes into the Kodesh Kodashim. If the Torah had only said gachalei coals, yacho omamos, it might be thought he should take smoldering coals, talmud lomar eish. The Torah teaches fiery. If the Torah stated only eish, it might be thought he should take a flame. Therefore, the Torah states gachalei. So how does the Kohen Gadol fulfill his chiyuv? Maybe mina lochoshos, he brings some of the flickering coals. We see from here that even flickering coals are not classified as fire, contradicting Rebbe. Rava resolves the contradiction by reinterpreting the braisa. If the Torah only stated gachoy, it might be thought he should bring smoldering coals, not flickering ones. Therefore, it states eish. If it had only stated eish, it might be thought he may take a burning piece of wood that is half coal and half flame, so by the time he enters the Kodesh Kodashim, it should be entirely coal. Therefore, the Torah states, V'lachach mal hamachta gachoy eish mi'al mizbech, and he shall take a shovelful of fiery coals from atop the mizbech, m'shas l'kicha nahavi gachoyim. This teaches that from the time of taking from atop the mizbech, they should be coals. According to this interpretation, the Braisa agrees with Rebbe that a flickering coal is classified as fire. All right, so now we go to our siman for Daf Ayin Hey, and this siman comes to us by way of Gedalia Weiss and David Zev Glickman, who both suggested Ayin Hey is Am Ha'aretz. And that's our siman, Am Ha'aretz. So here goes. The Am Ha'aretz, who was struggling to learn how to distinguish wood coals from metal coals, was so engrossed that he didn't even notice when the executioner tripped and spilled a whole cup of molten lead in front of the Kohen Gadol, who was carrying a shovel full of hot coals. Once again, in slow motion. The Am Ha'aretz, Am Ha'aretz, that must be one Dove. Ayin Hey. The Am Ha'aretz, who was struggling to learn how to distinguish wood coals from metal coals, which reminds us, it was taught in the Brice, if one cut the Pesach and placed it over coals, Rebbe said he considered it fire roasted. Rashi explains they didn't cut the carcass apart, but rather he sliced it in several places so that it would roast quickly. Rav Chisla was asked if, in fact, Rebbe says coals are considered like fire, since the Torah stated by Metzora, the word mikveh, burn, twice. It teaches us that saras on a burn also applies to a burn from a coal. So if the Torah had not included it based on the repetition, then one would not consider coal equivalent to fire roasted. So how could Rebbe consider a Pesach roasted on coals fire roasted without a special pasuk including in the Pesach? Rav Chisla replied that concerning a coal from wood, no pasuk is necessary. The pasuk was only needed to include a gachel shel maseches, coal produced from metal. So the Am Ha'aretz, who was struggling to learn how to distinguish wood coals from metal coals, was so engrossed that he didn't even notice when the executioner tripped and spilt a whole cup of molten lead, which reminds us. The Gemara brings the Gezeirah Shavah, Sreifa Sreifa Bnei Aharon, burning, burning from the burning of Bnei Aharon, to teach how someone condemned to burning is burnt, just as the burning refers to the burning of the soul with the body remaining intact. So to here, it refers to the burning of the soul with the body remaining intact. The Gemara asks why one needs to be burned with molten lead when immersing the person in boiling water would suffice, and answers that it's because of Rav Nachman's teaching, Amar Kra, Behafta Recha Kamoch, the Torah teaches you shall love your neighbor as yourself, Barulo Misa Yafa, choose from a favorable death, death by means of molten lead is less painful. So the Am Ha'aretz, who was struggling to learn how to distinguish wood coals from metal coals, was so engrossed that he didn't even notice when the executioner tripped and spilt a whole cup of molten lead in front of the Kohen Gadol, who was carrying a shovel full of hot coals. Which reminds us, Rava asked if Rebbe actually said coals are classified as fire, based on a conflicting braisa regarding the shovel full of fiery coals that the Kohen Gadol takes in the Kodesh Kodashim, that seems to indicate flickering coals are not considered fire. So Rava resolves the contradiction by reinterpreting the braisa. If the Torah had only stated gachalei, it might be thought he should bring smoldering coals, not flickering ones. Therefore it states eish. If it only stated eish, it might be thought he may take a burning piece of wood that is half coal and half flame, so that by the time he enters the Kodesh Kodashim, it should be entirely coal. Therefore the Torah states, and he shall take a shovel full of fiery coals from atop the mizbech, m'shas l'kicha nahavi gachoyim. This teaches that from the time of taking from atop the mizbeach, they should be coals. According to this interpretation, the Braisa agrees with Rebbe that a flickering coal is classified as fire. So once again, the Am Ha'aretz, who was struggling to learn how to distinguish wood coals from metal coals, was so engrossed that he didn't even notice when the executioner tripped and spilt a whole cup of molten lead in front of the Kohen Gadol, who was carrying a shovel full of hot coals. All right, now it's time for a four-block back Chazara. Daf Ein Av. So the Siman Ein Av is a donkey going E-R. E-R, we use a donkey driver. So here goes. This simple donkey driver, that must be on Daf Ein Av. This simple donkey driver was disheartened when he was told the Shlamim he shakti before Yantav could not be used for his chagig or his simcha, which reminds that Ula said named Rabbi Lazar that a voluntary Shlamim which one shakted erev Yantav, if he delayed eating until the next day, he doesn't fulfill his chiv to partake of a Shlamim simcha, nor his chiv to bring a chagiga. The Gemara explains that the already shakted Shlamim cannot serve as a Shlamim simcha, for it's written regarding the Shlamim simcha v'zavakta v'samach, then you shall shak the Shlamim and rejoice, be'in zvicha v'shah simcha v'leika. We need the shchita to occur at the time of simcha. In this case, it does not, for the Shlamim which is brought before the chag. Likewise, he cannot fulfill his chiyah for the chagiga because havi davish b'chova. V'chod davish b'chova ain't a balu min achulin, for the chagiga is something which is mandatory, and it's a call that any mandatory offering may come only from unconsecrated property. The Gemara later brings Rabbi and reported that Rabbi Lazar said that one would fulfill his chiyah for the Shlamim simcha. So this simple donkey driver was disheartened when he was told the shlamim he shechted before Yantav could not be used for his chagiga or simcha. His chagiga emurim became possible from lina, which reminds Rav Kahana said we learned that the emurim, the chagiga of the 15th, become possible lina from the pasuk of lo yelin chel v'chagiyad boker, nor shall the fat of my chagiga remain all night until morning, with some chlei reishis. And next to this phrase, in the next pasuk, it says the word first, reishis, by mentioning first, the Torah means to say that this morning, of which the previous pasuk speaks, is Boker Rishon, the first morning after the Chagiga Shechted, not the second morning. So we see from here that the Emurim become Pasul at the dawn following the Shechita of the Chagiga. So this simple donkey driver was disheartened when he was told the Shlamim he Shechted before Yantav could not be used for his Chagiga or Simcha. His Chagiga Emurim became Pasul from Lina, and to top it off, he was about to be Toa B'Dvar Mitzvah, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that all other Zvachim that one Shechted as a Pesach, if they're the kind of animals that are not suitable to serve as a Pesach, one is chai v'chatus for shechting them on Shabbos. But if they're the kind of animals that are suitable for a Pesach, Rabbi Yehuda says one is chai v'chatus, since they're not in fact a Pesach, whereas Rabbi Yeshua exempts him from a chatus. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yeshua holds that a toa b'dvar mitzvah pater, one who errs and transgresses while attempting to perform a mitzvah, and who does in fact perform somewhat of a mitzvah, though not one that overrides Shabbos, is pater from a chatus. In this case, the person did perform somewhat of a mitzvah, since most karbanis brought lo l'shmo are valid for their original designation. Rabbi Yezer holds Toba Dvar Mitzvah Chayiv, one who errs in a mitzvah is Chayiv. Dafayim Beis. So the Simfer Dafayim Beis is a thick piece of cake. So here goes. After performing the bris on the wrong baby, the father was so distressed that he mistakenly ate from the spit of noser meat instead of sacrificial meat. And then he brought a thick piece of cake to his Yavama instead of his wife. Once again in slow motion. After performing the bris on the wrong baby, the father was so distressed that he mistakenly ate from the spit of noser meat instead of sacrificial meat. And then he brought a thick piece of cake. Thick piece of cake? That must mean we're on Daf Ayin Beis. After performing the bris on the wrong baby, which reminds us, the Gemara challenges whether Rabbi Yeshua holds that wherever the mitzvah has a kitzvah, has a limit, the person would be chayav achatas, based on a Mishnah on Shabbos, where Rabbi Yeshua holds that if one had two infants, one to circumcise on Erev Shabbos and one to circumcise on Shabbos, and the person forgot and circumcised the Erev Shabbos infant on Shabbos, he would be pater, since he was tov b'dvar mitzvah. He erred while attempting a mitzvah. So Rabbi Yami answered that at the time he circumcised the infant, there was still the Shabbos infant that preoccupied him, whereas in the case of the tummy, it had already been offered. Therefore, there was no longer a mitzvah to preoccupy him. So after performing the bris on the wrong baby, the father was so distressed that he mistakenly ate from the spit of noser meat instead of sacrificial meat, which reminds us, Rabbi Shimon Lakish once said that if one confused the spit of noser meat with a spit of roasted sacrificial meat, and he ate the noser, he's chayv achatas. Rashi explains that although eating kadshim is a mitzvah based on the pasuk, v'achu osam asher kupar bahem, and they shall eat them, those who gained atonement through them, and the person erred while trying to perform a mitzvah, he's still chayv achatas since no mitzvah resulted. So after performing the bris on the wrong baby, the father was so distressed that he mistakenly ate from the spit of noser meat instead of sacrificial meat, and then he brought a thick piece of cake to his yavama instead of his wife. Which reminds Rabbi Yochanan responded to Rabbi Shimon Lakish's statement by saying that if one inadvertently had relations with his wife while she was anita, he's chayv achatas. Whereas if he inadvertently had relations with his yavama while she was anita, he's pater. So the Gemara asks, what's the difference between the yavama and his wife? In the case of the yavama, he performs a mitzvah yibum during the act, and in the case of his wife, he also performs a mitzvah of procreation. So why then is he chayv when having relations with his wife? So the Gemara clarifies that his wife was pregnant where there is no mitzvah of procreation, even though we learn from Rava, chayv adam v'sameach ishto b'dvar mitzvah. If one sees that his wife desires him, he's chayv to give her joy with an additional mitzvah act. In this case, she was close to her veset, her menstrual period, when relations are forbidden. Therefore, the husband's intention could not have been to fulfill this mitzvah, and he's chayv achatas. Daf Ayin Gimel. So the simur Daf Ayin Gimel is a giant ostrich egg. So here goes. The destructive cone like to crack giant ostrich eggs. Giant ostrich eggs? That must mean we're on Daf Ayin Gimel. The destructive cone who liked to crack giant ostrich eggs for no reason was dismayed when he saw the emurim of a shechted Pesach no eaters brought on the Mizbech, which reminds us, Rav Huna Bar Chinina said to his son that when he goes before Rabbi Zirikai, he should ask the following question. According to the one who says, Mekalka b'chabura pater, one who acts destructively on Shabbos is pater, how can the Mishnah rule shechatu shalolochav chayv? Matik, and one who shechs a Pesach on Shabbos for those who cannot eat is chayv, what improvement did he effect? This is a purely destructive act, which he should not be chayv for, according to this opinion. So the Gemara answered, Tikkun im alav yerdu. He improved the animal insofar that once its emurim have gone up onto the mizbeach, they should not go down. Therefore, the shechita has served a constructive purpose. So the destructive cone who liked to crack giant ostrich eggs for no reason was dismayed when he saw the emurim of a shechted Pesach with no eaters brought on the Mizbeach, while grazing Ashim on its way to be offered up as an Ola, which reminds us, Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, that if an Ashim had been consigned to grazing and then someone shechted it before it had been developed a blemish with no specific intention, it's kasher as an Ola. So the Gemara asks that since we see that Rav holds, well boy, Akira, that an offering's designation does not require a conscious Akira, rather its designation changes automatically, as Rashi explains that since now it stands to be used for the purposes of an Ola, there's no need to eliminate its previous status of an Ashim, then even if the animal has not yet been consigned to grazing, it should be valid as an Ola. The Gemara answer is Gezer l'acha kapar atu l'ifnei kapar. It's a Gezer d'Rabban that if an Ashim is shechted after the owner has received kapara, but before it's consigned to grazing, it's not fit as an Ola, because otherwise people might think it can be offered as an Ola even before the owner received kapara. So the destructive Kohen who liked to crack giant ostrich eggs for no reason was dismayed when he saw the Imurim of a shechted Pesach with no eaters brought on the Mizbeach. While grazing Ashim on its way to be offered up as an Ola, saw the meat of an ownerless Pesach being burned up immediately, which reminds us. Rav Chisda challenges Rav's view that a carbon does not require a kir based on the mission that states that if one shechted the Pesach on Shabbos and it then became known that the owners had withdrawn from it, he's not liable to bring a chattis for being machal Shabbos. And a brisa was taught in reference to the Mishnah that if there was a case like that on a weekday, yisaref miyad, an animal should be burned immediately. Rav Chisda said that if you say that a carbon does not require a kira, then at the moment owners withdrew, it was a shlamim. And the reason for its disqualification is because of an external factor, that it was shechted after the time shall be in Arbayim. If that's the case, the carbon requires a change of appearance, meaning time should pass so that the meat looks different from losing its moisture, should not be burned immediately. The Gemara will bring a number of attempts to resolve the contradiction between Rav and the Braisa. Daf Ein Dalet. So the Simcha Ein Dalet is an aid, a witness. So here goes. The witness, that must mean we're on Daf Ein Dalet. The witness saw the bandit wearing a large Gidi Mekulas helmet, which reminds us, there's a Malkovitz regarding the method of roasting the Pesach. Rabbi Yosef Glili says, we bring a spit of pomegranate wood and thrust it into the mouth of the carcass until it passes through its bottom, and one places its severed legs and its entrails inside it. Rashi explains that this is done to compile the Pasuk, Tzli Esh Rosha Al Krov Vel Kirbo. Fire roasted its head with its legs and its entrails, which implies that these parts are to be roasted together with the body. Rabbi Kiva says, Kibin Bishul Zed, this is considered a form of cooking, Elatoin Chutzala. Rather, we hang the legs and entrails from the outside of the carcass. And Rabbi Shmuel would call the roasted Pesach Tuch Tuch, because he held that Rabbi Yosef agreed that the entrails were roasted inside the body cavity, and they would make the sound of tuch tuch, like food boiled in a covered pot. Rabbi Tarfon called the carbon pesach Gidi Makulas, a helmeted kid. He held, like Rabbi Kiva, that the legs and entrails were placed on the spit above the head of the animal, resembling a helmet on the head of a warrior. So the witness saw the bandit wearing a large Gidi Makulas helmet and wielding a pomegranate spit, which reminds the Mishnah said that a pomegranate spit was used. The Gemara explains the reason a metal spit is not used, since a part of the spit becomes hot through exposure to the fire. All of it, including that which is covered by the carcass, will become hot, and the carcass will be partly roasted on account of the heat of the spit rather than the fire itself. And the Torah states, Tzli Eish, v'lo tzli machmas davar acher. The Pesach must be roasted by fire and not roasted on account of something else. The Gemara goes on to explain that the reason why the spit cannot be brought from other woods, such as palm wood, fig wood, oak, carob, or sycamore, is that they secrete liquid, and it's as though the Pesach is cooked. So the witness saw the bandit wearing a large Gidi Makulas helmet and wielding a pomegranate spit, threatening the person sitting peacefully roasting his meat on coals. Which reminds, the Gemara teaches that whenever Rav Acha and Ravina disagreed, Rav Acha was the one with the more machmir opinion, and Ravina was the one with the more makel view, and the halacha always follows Ravina, l'kula, except for three disputes, where Rav Acha is more lenient and the halacha follows his opinion. The first dispute was regarding umsa da'asmik, a piece of meat that turned red on account of blood oozing from a vein. Now, if one cut it and salted it, it's permitted even for cooking in a pot. The cutting helps the collected blood escape more readily. If one roasted it on a spit, it's permitted for consumption because the blood flows out during the roasting. But if one places it on coals for roasting, one of them forbids it because the heat of the coals makes it shrivel, causing it to retain the collected blood. The other permits it because the heat draws out the blood. And the halacha is that the heat draws out the blood. All right, now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos, Shabbos, and Erevin. Number 1. Which shop do you learn that an Ashim shechted as an ol after his owner got kapar before it went to graze would be fit? If not for gezer, people would do it before the owner got kapar. That's on daf. Ein Gimel, good. Number 2. Which shop do you learn one is chai for eating a spit of noser meat b'shogeg, which he thought was kashim meat, since no mitzvah was accomplished? That's on daf. Ayin Beis. Good. Number 3. Which daf do you learn that the Emurim, the Chagig of the 15th, become puzzled with Lina? That's on daf. Ayin Aleph. Good. Number 4. Which daf do you learn that carrying out tzreifa with molten lead is considered a misa yafa because it's less painful? That's on daf. Ayin Hey. Good. Number 5. which of you in the Kohen Gadol must take a shovelful of coals off the Mizbeach on Yom Kippur, not burning wood that is half coal, half flame? That's on Daf. Ayin Hey. Good number six. Which of you in the one who shecks the Pesach on Shabbos for those that cannot eat it has done something constructive in that once it's a morning go up on the Mizbeach, they should not come down? That's on Daf. Ayin Gimel. Good number seven. Which of the one the Ben Tema holds that a Chagiga is similar to a Pesach in that it's eaten only for a single day and the following night? That's on Daf. Ayin. Good number eight. Which Daf Tiv Malkokas, Rav Acha and Ravina, whether roasting over coals shrivels the meat, thereby trapping the blood, or if it helps draw out the blood? That's on Daf. Ayin Dal. Good number nine. Which Daf Tiv Malkokas, Rabbi Yezer holds that Makshiri Mitzvah are Docher Shabbos only when the person is fit to do the Mitzvah, but not in the case of one who requires hazah, that's on Daf. Samach Tes. Good. And number 10, which Daf Tiv Malchok is Rabbi Yossi Agli and Rabbi Akiva regarding how the Pesach was roasted? That's on Daf. Ein Dalet. Great. Now the three bonus questions. Number 1, which Daf Tiv the gates of tears, the Shari Dima, are never closed? That's on Daf. Lamed Beis and Brachas. Good. Number 2, which Daf Tiv about the importance of verbalizing one's Torah? That's on Daf. Nundal and Nervin. Good. And number 3, which stuff they learn about three things that cause poverty? That's on Daf. Samach Beis and Shabbos. Excellent. All right, that concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.